Okay, so I had really kind of assumed I would be able to see something. So can everybody see this symbol here? Okay, does anybody recognize this? Okay, this is the symbol from the super suit that the aliens gave Ralph Hinkley back in the TV show The Greatest American Hero. And so you may be wondering, why do I have this shirt? And the answer is, I'm a nerd. I've also been called a dork, a dweeb, a geek, and even a blurred. That's a black nerd. So this is totally 80s, which means I should start by saying that the 80s were not a great time for blurs or nerds. It wasn't until the latter half of the decade that Bill Gates became a cultural phenomenon. In 1980, I was in middle school, right down the street at St. Mary's. If I went to Goucher, I'd get applause for that, but no, okay. So I wasn't really a nerd yet, but I was getting there. I was the kind of kid who would mostly read a book during recess, sitting on the edge of the playground with my back against this big old tree, which was great for shade and comfort, but not so good if the other kids were playing kickball because the tree was second base. Nowadays, we have the internet, and everybody says that if you want to find your tribe, your people, the people who get your jokes and who do the same things and like the same things you do, you use the internet. Well, before we had the internet, we had libraries. And the library was where I found my tribe, literally hanging out at the Govens branch of the Pratt Library. There we go. Okay. All right. All right. So the Govens branch was where I met my friend Anne, and she introduced me to her friends Rachel and Suzanne, and they introduced me to their friend Guy, and I introduced them to my friend Ron. And when we all got together, we finally had enough people to do something that Ron and I had been talking about for a long time, which was play a game of Dungeons and Dragons. Now, Ron was usually the DM, but we all took a turn at some point. For those of you out there who don't know much about Dungeons and Dragons, the DM, it stands for Dungeon Master, which frankly sounds even worse today than it did then. The DM is kind of the referee and head script writer for a role-playing activity that combines a collaborative board game with really weird dice that are trying to kill you, group story writing, and a healthy dose of imagination gone wild. We used the basement of the library as our clubhouse for this. There's a big multipurpose room, and it was ours after school and on weekends. And we fought all kinds of monsters down there. There were gelatinous cubes. Which picture the movie monster The Blob, but with straight edges and flat sides. We fought parties of other characters like us. We fought fire-breathing dragons. In fact, one of the times that the line between reality and the game blurred a little bit was we had our own fire-breathing dragon as a guest player. That's our friend Flash. His real name was, well, I can't tell you his real name, but his last name was Gordon, so he went by Flash. And Flash would play D&D with us sometimes, but what he really liked to do was fire breathing. Flash would get those big cans of butane refill and suck the butane out of them and then blow the butane through like the lit flame from a pocket lighter, which is a really cool effect when you're in high school. So one day we're playing D&D, and Flash is doing his impression of a fire-breathing dragon, and his lips stuck together at just the wrong instant. And so instead of a flame coming out like this, all of a sudden, Flash's face was hidden behind a sheet of flame that went straight up. And it was just like a second, And when it was over, it took a moment to realize that the shocked expression on Flash's face was not the surprise, but his eyebrows were gone. It had, as were the tips of his eyelashes and the shelf of hair that used to cantilever out over his forehead. Everything had just been burnt off flush with his face. But aside from fire safety, one of the things that my tribe taught me was there were lots of new experiences out there. My tribe took me to my first science fiction convention, or con, as we call them. And the fact that we call them that is another point. The Baltimore Science Fiction Society started hosting Balticon in 1966. So when my friends and I showed up on Good Friday of 1984, Balticon was 18, most of my friends were 16, and I was 15. And that was a weekend of firsts for me. Some I'm not going to talk about, like the rum and coke, that was the first time I saw Monty Python and the Holy Grail in a little, yeah, that's right, we're in a movie theater. We can give it up for Monty Python and the Holy Grail. In a little meeting room in the Hyatt Regency Hotel during a late night screening at Balticon 18. And I saw lots of other neat stuff there. I saw The Wizard of Speed and Time. I saw the trailer for Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension before it even came out. My personal favorite, best short ever, Bambi Meets Godzilla. Right? Yeah? Okay, I quote Tom Lehrer. The rest of you can look it up when you get home. The other thing I did there that I had never done before, I got to dress up in costume. Not for Halloween and not for something theatrical, but just because I wanted to pretend to be somebody I wasn't. I was an altar boy at St. Mary's, so I had an altar boy robe. So I was a monk. You know, it was an easy costume. I later replaced it with a priest outfit because the priest outfits were more comfortable than the monk's robe. And they made the transition to street clothing easier. And frankly, if you're looking for a photo op, you can't beat priest outfit with women in chainmail bikini, which was easy to do at a con. But the most important thing that I saw at Balticon was I saw thousands of other nerds like me. And that's important. It told me that my tribe was huge. Out here in the real world, trust has to be earned. People don't let down their shields and really connect with each other until after they get to know each other well. But at a con, if you're there, the assumption is, we trust you, you're cool. And so the shields just come down right away, and they tend to stay down all weekend long. Which is a wonderful feeling. Now, for a bunch of different reasons, I stopped playing D&D and going to cons when I was in college. But a couple years ago, something really marvelous happened. My friend Fran wrote her first science fiction novel, and it won an award. It won a bunch of awards, but it won an award that was being presented at Balticon. And the guest of honor that year was George R.R. Martin, who some of you may recognize wrote the Game of Thrones series, and I love the Game of Thrones books and the shows now. I'm caught up on the shows. And so Fran, she tells me she's coming to this and jokingly asks if, as a council person, I can get her the keys to the city. And I'm like, I can't do that. But then I thought later, well, I can do ceremonial resolutions, which, you know, congratulate people on their accomplishments. And then I thought, well, if I'm doing one for Fran, maybe I could do some for other people. And so that's how I ended up back at Balticon, only now it's Balticon 50, where I found that, you know, nothing was the same, but everything was still the same. It was in the Renaissance instead of at the Hyatt, and they were showing completely different movies and videos in the film room, and they were playing games I'd never heard of in the gaming room. But the feel was still the same. I could still strike up conversations with total strangers in line in the dealer's room or in the elevator based on what they were talking to their friends about, because there's no shame or stigma over eavesdropping at a con. What I found was that my tribe was still there, and they didn't care that I'd been gone for a couple of decades. The other really cool thing was I got to be on the main stage of Balticon, something I'd never even imagined 32 years earlier, telling my favorite pirate joke to George R.R. Martin. And I tell you that joke now, but I think I'm out of time. So have a good one. Really? Okay, all right. I'm with you, buddy. All right, so a pirate walks into a bar. He's got a peg leg. He's got a hook on one arm. And he's got a patch over one eye. If you know this joke, stay quiet. He goes up to the bar and he orders a beer. Bartender pours him a beer. The bartender says, "You mind if I ask how you lost your leg?" Pirate goes, "Garr. I was sitting on the edge of my ship, and a shark jumped out of the water and bit my leg clean off." Bartender's like, "Wow, how did you lose the hand?" Pirate goes, "Arr. I was pointing off the side of the ship. Shark jumps out of the water, bites my hand clean off." Bartender scratches his head and goes, "How did you lose your eye?" And the pirate looks ashamed and says, "I was standing on the deck of my ship and a seagull crapped in my eye." And the bartender goes, "And you lost your eye from that?" And the pirate goes, "First day with the hook."